Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast is your one-stop shop for fantasy football news and advice. Can't decide on who to draft on the first round? Going gaga on how to line up your team? Got you covered. Traditional leagues, dynasty leagues, PPR leagues, IDP leagues, even daily fantasy football leagues. Join us as we break down all the questions of fantasy football. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff, and with me is my partner in crime, Mark Souza. We got a lot to talk about in the world of fantasy football. Even though it's the offseason, we still got things to talk about to look forward to for next season, such as Kareem Hunt signing with the Cleveland Browns. What does that mean for him and Chubb's stock value? So we'll see how that goes in the world of Cleveland. We're also going to be talking about some offensive coordinators, new destinations. What does that mean statistically? And the most consistent players also in last year's fantasy football season. So we'll get all on that later. But first, Kareem Hunt has signed a one-year, $1 million deal to the Cleveland Browns. He will most likely be facing a suspension for an undisclosed amount of games. We still don't know at this time. Or even the suspension hasn't even been official yet. So we don't know the whole circumstances when it comes to that. But does this affect Nick Chubb's drafting stock for you?
Yeah, it definitely can. I mean, I think we really need to figure out how many games he's going to get suspended for.
Yeah, to really figure this out. But for me, it's like Nick Chubb could have been easily a top five, top 10 picked to first round running back. I think can we agree on that? Nick Chubb could be a first round running back.
Was that a fair assumption? Nick Chubb, I mean,
top five, would you say? Would that be okay?
Like number five? Top five. He could be top five.
He did
top under 12. If you're in a 12-team league, he's for sure a first-round pick.
Absolutely. Like, him and Sony Michel, both the Georgia guys, did extremely well. I know Michel got a little more looked at because he was on the Patriots, but for Nick Chubb, he had a pretty great season himself. People really didn't look at that as often, as highly as they did, as they should. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I think he's a top. If I have the sixth or seventh pick, I'm definitely looking for Chubb in that middle of the pack pick for my first pick.
And yeah, but this might change it, right?
A little Does bit, it? But it all, like you said, it all depends on how long Hunt's suspension is. Because as long as Hunt is gone, he's going to be the guy. But when Hunt comes back, whenever that is, he's going to get less snaps, and that's a big factor.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: when you pick a running back in the first round of a fantasy draft, what you're hoping is to get one of the very few bell cow running backs in the NFL nowadays, because as we know, most teams like to employ multiple running backs. Mm-hmm. They have running backs for by committee, different scenarios. You have like maybe your pass catching back, maybe you have your short yardage back. You have
a Patriots running back, if you will.
Yeah, and I know the Patriots do it to an extreme length, but like teams do that closer to the Patriots than they do to a traditional
team. The Patriots just made it famous, if you will. Would you agree with that? Would the Patriots have made it more of a commodity?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, if Hunt's suspended for 8 games, I might still consider taking Chubb in the first round, because those 8 games are going to really dignify how many snaps he'll get when Hunt returns, I feel like. Mm-hmm. If he does extremely well, if he's having like a great season, I don't think Hunt's going to get like 50% of the snaps. He might get 30% of the snaps rather than 50. And that's still 70% for Chubb. And, of course,
I think 70-30, if I'm being completely honest, is best case scenario for Nick Chubb.
Is that still a first-round pick for you if he gets 70-30?
If Hunt's only suspended for a couple games, probably not.
Okay, let's say he gets suspended for more than 8 games.
Oh, yeah, then definitely. Because fantasy seasons are, what, like 14?
Yeah.
They're usually 16 if you go all the way to the end, but the regular season is 13.
Yeah, like we were talking about this in our sports and football podcast about Hunt's suspension, because I think that's all but a certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we were talking about it could be 8 games, it could be less, it could be more. We really don't know the circumstances of how long the suspension is. But if the suspension is 8 games or more, and you predicted roughly 8 games, which I happen to agree with you at this point, that with the video evidence and all that, Nick Chubb is still a top first-round pick for me.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting dynamic, honestly. Like, it's hard to say this far out just because obviously a lot of things are going to happen before we start our fantasy drafts, right? So
Absolutely. When
we do our fantasy drafts, it's usually at the end of August, right before the season
starts. Draft has happened, free agency has happened, all this other stuff has
happened. And training camps happen, and preseasons happen.
Yeah.
So, like, we get a better...
So many different things
happen. We get more information, right? Like, maybe the Browns... what if, like, in June... Their general manager and their head coach says, look, Nick Chubb is our starting running back, and we will use Kareem Hunt when Nick Chubb is tired. Mm-hmm. Then if you hear that, you're thinking, okay, Chubb's first-round pick, right? Like, you're like, that'd be music to your ears if you were going to draft Chubb.
Yeah.
But if you hear, it's great that we have two guys who are awesome, and it gives us the ability to go back and forth, then you're like, oh. Like, at that point, you're praying – whichever one you have is the one that gets most of the touches that week, right? Like, it'll be a frustrating experience, right? Like, it'll be, ideally you'd want Chubb and Hunt, to be honest with you. If you could get both running backs, that'd be perfect. If you could play them as your two running backs, I would do that all day.
But, like, that's the other question, not just Chubb, but Hunt stock value. Is he like one of your last picks, or is he somewhere in the middle of the
draft? If I'm picking Chubb with my first pick, I am making it a priority to get Kareem Hunt, and I'm making it a priority to draft him much higher than anyone else because I don't want anybody else to have him.
So second, third round?
No, not that high. But
fourth, fifth?
Because I think.
Do you think someone might take him second or third just despite
Predicting he's going to get 8-game suspension. But say, like, just for sake of argument, I think it's safe to say he's going to get at least 4 games. Like, just we can, like, pretty much assume he's going to get a 4-game suspension, right? Like,
at least.
Okay.
That seems like a foregone.
So running backs that have a 4-game suspension, unless you're like Ezekiel Elliott or someone like that, are probably going to suffer in terms of where they're drafted. Kareem Hunt is a special case because not only is he going to get suspended, he's also going to be the second running back on a team. He's not going to be inserted as the number one player. Like, if he was on Kansas City and all you had to do is wait out the suspension and then he goes right back into the number one running back.
He's definitely like a second round pick, third round pick.
Maybe even a first. I mean, like, maybe first, even a first round pick.
First is a bit risky for me because I want a guy that's starting off the season.
Right.
I want to start off strong rather than start off late because...
Sure.
4 games, that's still kind of late, all things considered. That's pretty, like, that's midway through the season type of thing. But I guess if you had, like, the last pick in the first round and the first pick in the second round, yeah, you could probably get a Hunt in that circumstance and get someone else to complement the absence of him.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't pick him in the first round unless, like, I was in the end of the draft.
Sure.
I'm not taking anything away. He's going to be a big factor in the Cleveland offense. There's no question about it. He's still a talented player. He's still young at 23 and all that good stuff. It's just we really don't know the circumstances of the suspension.
So going back to what you said, the hypothetical of where I would draft Kareem Hunt if I took Chubb in the first round, I'd probably say like 8th round.
Oh, that late.
I don't know if he goes earlier than that.
I think someone might like do that.
But
just
again, there's a lot of moving
parts.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, we don't know. What if he's suspended for 8 games? He's not getting picked before the 10th round if he's suspended for 8 games. He's just not.
Then the 8th round might be the best bet for you. But again, we don't. It's so frustrating because we really don't know where he's going to end up. That's the problem with this whole thing. But like, let's say, okay, 4 games or less, 4th round sounds about right to pick him in a certain situation. 5, 6, 7, you could probably sneak in like 6th round, I would say. 8 or more, you can definitely get him 8th round or below.
This is how I would say. If I pick Nick Chubb with my first round pick, this is like an ideal draft.
Mm-hmm.
I get Chubb, second round pick. So let's say, because Chubb's probably going to be a top 5 running back, so he'll probably be at the end of round 1, maybe in the middle of round 1. He won't be like I'm sure Gurley will go higher. I think a McCaffrey could go higher.
Is Bell going to go higher?
Barkley's going to go higher for sure.
Barkley's going to go one.
Bell
honestly.
Could go higher. We don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on. But let's just say, let's just put it this
because
way.
Because you can't forget about Bell because he's going to be a big factor
but
in this
whole
fantasy
draft. But before we go completely off the rail,
let's
say I get the eighth pick in the first round, I draft Nick Chubb. That seems like a likely spot for him at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Antonio Brown goes before him. Maybe a receiver or two, maybe four or five running backs, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say I have the eighth pick out of 12 teams. And then on the flip side, so I have the eighth pick, and then I would have the 16th pick, right? So, on the way back, I take my first wide receiver at that point. Maybe I take a guy like Odell Beckham, or
Michael Thomas,
or a guy like Mike Evans, because I love Mike Evans with Bruce Arians.
Is a passing coach.
Like,
so
I
that
love
does
Mike Evans
sense.
This year.
But
big on him.
What really is questioning me about? I love Mike Evans. I think he's a great player. Jameis Winston's my main concern with that, though. Because you don't know. You really don't. And
so, but anyways, hold on.
Okay,
let me
finish
my point before we go completely off the rails. Perfect scenario if you draft Chubb. Your second pick, you either get a Mike Evans type, Odell Beckham type, or maybe you get a Devontae Freeman type. Maybe you get a... I'm trying to think of another running back who'd be like an RB2. Maybe a guy. I don't know where Philip Lindsay goes. He probably goes around that area, like probably 15.
He's definitely a second, third round pick.
So then I get Philip
Lindsay. Man, it's hard to say.
But hold on. Let me keep going.
Okay.
So let's just say right now I have Chubb and Lindsay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then in rounds 3, 4, and 5, I probably address a receiver and a tight end. I'd probably go tight end then receiver at that point because I value tight end so much higher than receivers.
I would go like Kittle or
if I could
Kelsey.
Get Kittle or Kelsey or Ertz with my next pick in round 3, I'm taking him every single time.
Honestly, I might be looking at Kittle more than the others because I think
he's regardless. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go – let's say right now my roster is Chubb, Lindsay, Kittle, okay?
Okay.
Then I go receiver, receiver, receiver. And then now I'm in round 7. So I got Lindsay, Chubb, Kittle, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Okay. I'm probably getting Robert Woods in there. I'm probably getting a Cooper Kupp. I'm probably getting somebody like that.
Two LA Ram players?
I would love it. Oh, my God. And then I draft. And then I wrap.
It's always a risk, in my opinion, to take a guy.
How awesome would it be to have Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster on the same fantasy team?
Oh, yeah. But like, the thing is, Robert Woods can have a game where he's not even relevant. You know what I mean?
But they both can have good games.
Absolutely.
And they both have good games a lot.
And then Kupp is also coming off an injury. We really don't know the circumstances of how he will return. Like, that's why I'm just being
but
a
little. So what I'm saying is, in my scenario, if I got Chubb first, I would do something like this. Chubb, Lindsay, Kittle,
receiver,
and then I would take Kareem Hunt, and then I would take a quarterback. That's kind of how I would build that team. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't get like obviously Mahomes or anyone like that, but you would get like a, I don't know, like if Ryan Fitzpatrick gets drafted.
Well, in a 12-team league, I'm probably going to get one of the top 10 quarterbacks if I draft one in the 7th or 8th round, like maybe the 11th quarterback, which is fine.
Maybe a Roethlisberger type.
Yeah, maybe a Matt Ryan. Maybe a Philip Rivers. I love it. Give me
Philip
that all day.
Rivers, I can see there.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I could see that. I think Matt Ryan would go a little higher in most drafts just based off his performances, and Patrick Mahomes might be going a lot higher because of his 50 touchdown passes. But 8th round, I can definitely see a Roethlisberger. I can definitely see a Wilson. I can definitely see...
Don't you love the idea, though, of having Nick Chubb as your one and then Kareem Hunt as your flex when he comes off of suspension? Like,
oh, yeah,
you love
absolutely.
That idea?
And I love Philip Lindsay as my second.
Yeah, like you could be... I would have no problems with starting my two running backs as Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb when they're both on the roster fully participating. Because, yeah.
They're going to be even with the snaps.
They probably both don't go off in one game, right? They probably both don't have 35-point games one day.
Mm-hmm.
But one probably has a 30 and one has a 16. Give me that all day.
They're both
going
to have touchdowns is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're both super likely to score. They're both guys can take it to the house on any given play. How many teams have you seen... You know what teams I've liked in fantasy football that I've never had a chance to have? I've liked teams that have had Kamara and Ingram together.
I like that. I've always liked that, too.
Because you're guaranteed, if you have Kamara, if you have Kamara, he gets you all the way down the field. And then what they do at the goal line, they put in Ingram. So you get, you're guaranteed to get like all
and
the
Ingram's
points.
Good on the open field as well. The people don't really give him enough credit for that, honestly, too. He's dangerous in his own right, which I think he's going to be, whoever he gets signed by in free agency, he's going to be a big-time player. Mm-hmm. He's going to be an easy running back, too, for me. I think
Kareem Hunt will be a PPR monster for the Browns, and I think Chubb is going to be the goal line back. Like Chubb will be the number one running back, I think. But still, they're both going to be interchangeable.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Does this also affect the stock for the receivers like Landry and the quarterback Mayfield in the draft?
Fantasy. So let's just be honest. The Browns are probably going to be the most intriguing offense in next year's fantasy draft.
Isn't that crazy to say?
Like Baker Mayfield's going to get overdrafted, which I'm not saying he's not a good player, but he's going to get picked in the top five. I guarantee you this.
Quarterbacks. Oh, okay,
No, Baker Mayfield will be a top five quarterback because people will be drooling over the Browns. Baker Mayfield's exciting player. He's got a little bit of... what's the word? Moxie. He's got a little bit of swag. You know what I mean? Like, people are going to be like, dude, I want Baker Mayfield as my fantasy quarterback. So he's going to be overdrafted because the Browns should have a good offense. Baker Mayfield's exciting player. And people are going to be up on the Browns, right? That's just going to happen. So I don't know if Landry's stock gets affected by it, to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't think so. But Landry was picked, what, like in the second or third round this year? He was pretty high. He had a decent season, all things considered. Maybe some people are disappointed, but it is what it is.
Yeah, true. And we really have a lot of other things like to look at with the Browns. But the Browns are definitely going to have a lot of players taken in at a fantasy football draft, which is crazy to think about. From like 2 years ago, they were 0-16. Now they're a major offensive
and their
powerhouse.
Draft is going to be absolutely crazy. Like, they could draft a wide receiver. They could continue to get better defensively.
I like the kid from Arizona State, even though I went to Arizona school.
Couldn't you see the Browns, like in free agency now or in the draft, addressing like a big outside receiver to complement Landry in the slot?
100%. And getting Kareem Hunt at such a low price. They might win the offseason Super Bowl, if you will. Like that classic saying, you know what I mean?
Can I say this?
Go for it.
The Browns will have a more exciting offense in 2019 than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, that's a bold statement, sir.
Baker will be better than Roethlisberger. Chubb and Kareem Hunt will be better than Connor.
Is it because
Antonio Brown may not be on the Steelers? That's the thing, right? Like, he may or may not be on the Steelers.
Well, Antonio Brown just tweeted something very interesting. Speak of the devil.
Well, he just got convicted of reckless driving today.
Yes,
he's found guilty. So what did he say?
He said, "Thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and move forward. # new demands." That sounds like he's done in picture, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you might be right on this now. That sounds like a foregone conclusion. He's done.
Interesting.
He thanked specifically Steeler fans.
Oh.
And he says now it's time to move on.
Well, that's a development.
Oh, this just got even more interesting. Obviously, this sounds like he doesn't want any part of the Pittsburgh Steelers family anymore. And you might be right, sir. It might be time that the Cleveland Browns move ahead in the Steelers for a powerful offense.
Mm-hmm.
What great timing, by the way. After you said that, I got the update. That was perfect timing, sir. Congrats on that one. That was awesome. But, you know, after seeing that and seeing it seems like Le'Veon Bell's going to leave, and it seems like Antonio Brown is almost gone, basically. It sounds like he's going to go bye-bye. The Steelers might be in trouble, and James Conner might be even more of a stock. His stock just might have risen big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Bell's gone and Brown's gone, he's going to move up, and Juju's going to move up.
Yeah, Juju might move into the first round. I think he's still an early second rounder, but he might.
They're definitely both Conner and Juju are definitely going to be big time pickups in the free agency if both Bell and Brown are gone.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll take a short break. We'll talk more about. I have a question about Brown and NFL when we get on later on after this break. But
we'll also talk about the most consistent quarterback fantasy quarterbacks of 2018 and what that might mean for their future. But maybe some surprising numbers that we should consider when thinking about this upcoming fantasy draft this summer.
Yes, we'll be right back right after this.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. We are finishing up our one discussion about Antonio Brown because he just sent a tweet saying he says goodbye to Steeler Nation, which sounds like he's going, bye-bye, see you later. And with Le'Veon Bell leaving, I need to ask you before we move on to your offensive statistics, wherever Antonio Brown goes, is he still a first-round pick?
Maybe. I mean, what's the worst case scenario? Let's go there first.
Well, let's like.
I don't think so. If he.
There's a lot of talk about him going to San Francisco. That's been a big topic of conversation.
If he goes to San Francisco, I think that he. I don't know if he's a first round pick if he leaves the Steelers, because I do think there might be like an adjustment period. And to be fair, there's just way too many good running backs right now.
Mm hmm. Do you see him as a like first? Do you see? Okay, let me ask you this: is he the first wide receiver taken?
Maybe not.
Okay, who do you see, if I may ask?
First receiver?
Yeah.
Julio, maybe DeAndre Hopkins for sure. I'd say Hopkins.
I think Hopkins. You got an excellent point. Him and Watson have made a very good duo together.
It's Hopkins, Julio, Antonio Brown, in my opinion. Even if he stays, I think so.
Well, we really don't know what the outcome is going to be, so we'll see how that plays out later. But with Le'Veon Bell moving, I still think it all depends where Le'Veon Bell lands will affect his draft stock, I feel like. So we'll see how that one goes. But regardless, we have to talk about – let's go to your offensive statistics now, since we are moving on now. We're moving on.
Yeah, so the most consistent quarterbacks of – 2018 might be interesting to some because of how we view quarterbacks. Now, when we say most consistent, we're talking about how many times a quarterback finished in the top 10 for that week amongst his peers in terms of fantasy, football, scoring. Does that make sense?
Got it. It's in my brain.
So who do you think was the number one most consistent fantasy quarterback last season?
Consistently quarterback? Okay. Give me Matt Ryan.
Number one, no. This person was maybe the best offensive football player last year.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes, then.
Yes.
I was just trying to go unexpected because it sounded like you were trying to avoid like who was the best player type of
thing. So 75% of the time he was in the top 10.
Makes sense.
He was in the top 5 44% of the time. That was also the league high.
Number two.
I don't really think that this player had – maybe he had 1 week, maybe 2 weeks where he might have led the position, but I do really think of this quarterback as just being really, really consistent last year and good for most games. Do you have an idea who it is?
What position? You said running back?
No, these are all quarterbacks.
Oh, all quarterbacks. Got it.
These are the most consistent quarterbacks of 2018.
That's a tough one, but maybe Ben Roethlisberger?
It's Andrew Luck.
Oh, okay.
You want to know how consistent he was? He scored between 21 and 24 points for seven straight games between week 5 and week 11.
Damn.
He was a top 5 quarterback in 31% of his starts.
See, I was thinking about him, but I was like, his team ran the ball a lot. That's
right,
why.
That's why he didn't have too many huge games, but he had a lot of very,
consistently
very good games.
Consistently good games, I see.
All right, this quarterback, a young quarterback, he had 10 top 10 finishes. And
young quarterback.
He's slightly behind Andrew Luck in terms of
consistency. How young are we talking?
Pretty young.
Baker Mayfield?
No.
Okay. He's not a first year then?
Very exciting quarterback. A lot of hype. Big time fantasy quarterback. Was a top 5 quarterback drafted last year for sure.
Exciting
player.
Josh Allen?
Exciting player.
Sam Darnold?
No, top 5 quarterback
picked in fantasy. I apologize. Young. So we're looking at
We just
young.
Talked about his teammate.
We just did?
Yes, this player. We just talked about his teammate in the last segment. We talked about wide receivers.
Ben Roethlisberger?
No.
I'm confused now.
Which wide receiver did we say might be the number one wide receiver pick?
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
I can't believe I blanked on that. But I got really, I was like, we were talking about Steelers, and then I realized, about Deshaun Hopkins for, DeAndre Hopkins for all of 2 seconds.
So number 4, this player, so he was hurt a lot last year, but he hit at least 20 points 8 times. Before he kind of fell off at the end of the year because he was definitely hurt. Do you know who this is? A quarterback that was definitely hurt at the end of the season last year. Did not look the same second half of the year.
Hurt.
But he killed it in the first 11 games of fantasy football.
Oh. Is it a really gruesome injury?
No.
Oh, okay.
It is a player that required surgery.
Was it minor?
Mm-hmm. Well, they say. But I wouldn't say cleaning up your throwing shoulder is ever a minor surgery. Cam.
Cam. What, Cam? Really?
Yeah, he was very good, but then the wheels fell off for him. And when he got hurt, then he was
terrible. Right, he was 6-2.
All right, the number 5 in terms of consistency is a player... is a quarterback that in fantasy football is often known as being great at home and terrible on the road. So start him at home, don't start him on the road. That's kind of his MO in terms of fantasy football. Which quarterback am I talking about?
Start him at home, but not on the road.
He had a 5,000-yard season last year, by the way.
Last year?
5,100 yards. Well, this last year.
Oh, Ben Roethlisberger?
Yes. He had 9
lead the league
top
in passing
10
yards?
Finishes. He was second behind Mahomes.
Yeah. Oh, he was second behind Mahomes. I thought Mahomes had more.
So, tied for number 6, we have 3. One is super surprising. Matt Ryan is tied for 6th.
Okay.
Russell Wilson.
Makes sense.
And who do you think is tied for 6th with Russell Wilson? This player lit up the fantasy world a few times last year. When I say a few times, I mean...
only a
he was a stud for many weeks.
Okay.
He was kind of the fantasy football darling for a while.
Fantasy football darling.
For a while. Hence, he didn't continue to be. But he still, even though he didn't play that many games, still ended up being 50% of the time he was in the top 10.
The 50% of the time he played, he was in the top 10?
50% of the fantasy football weeks, he was in the top 10. So he was more than that. He was actually very consistent. He just didn't play the whole season.
So he was he benched?
He maybe have been benched.
I think I know who it is, but I'm going to sound stupid if I say it.
Who is it?
Is it Fitzpatrick?
It is Fitzpatrick.
Oh, okay. I was like, he was on fire for so long, but I don't. It was so, that was a hard one. Because he had some really bad games.
Yes. And so you want to know who's next on the list? Jameis Winston.
You're kidding.
No.
What the hell? Oh,
they actually were the top passing team. My point last year was like, I keep switching between them because combined they're a top five quarterback. Like every single week you're getting production.
Well, they were the leading passing team at one point per game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't. It's not crazy to think about.
Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins were the next two on the list. You know, guys like Mayfield, Josh Allen, they didn't play enough.
Well, I mean, when did Allen play? Mayfield play? He played after week what, four?
Get this crazy stat about Josh Allen. He played in 12 games, and every time he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback, he was a top 5 quarterback. He was either top 5 or he was not in the top 10.
Well, he had that one great game against, Minnesota that really, like, made people look at him, you know?
Nick Mullins had the same number of 20-point performances as Matt Stafford last year.
That's insane. That's how bad Matt Stafford did, basically, is what you're saying.
Baker Mayfield hit the 20-point mark 5 times.
That's not bad.
Yeah. He did it, I think, after a four.
And that was a 13. That was a heavy running team.
Mm-hmm. So make what you want of those numbers, but that kind of shows you consistency because, you know, it's always nice to have a quarterback like Mahomes who can just go off for 45, 50 points in a given game. But, like, to be honest, we're looking for consistency at quarterback, right? Like, if we can get a quarterback who could just get you 25, you'll take it every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, finding that sweet spot, right? And that's why I think that maybe that's part of the strategy of not wanting to draft a quarterback early is you can find steady production down the road.
Yeah,
you don't need to spend a top 3 or 4 round pick on a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know who is not in that list at all? Tom Brady.
Well, they were saying
he wasn't even the top 15 in terms of consistency.
Well, the thing was with the Patriots is no one really looked at them as a serious threat throughout the entire season.
Right.
So that's why that's the reason. I'm not surprised by that, to be honest with you. Tom Brady, he's a consistent quarterback. His only big numbers came in that 07 season when they went 16-0.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he had Randy Moss. So I've always thought of him as more of a playoff quarterback than a regular season quarterback anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyways, we should go to a break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to take a look at a couple of the new offensive coordinators and what that could mean for fantasy football. There actually are 9 new offense coordinators, believe it or not, which seems like a lot. But yes, a couple teams did not fire their head coaches, but they did make a move at offense coordinator. So we'll talk about that when we return because it does affect fantasy value, and we'll tell you how.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Finish the quarterback statistics. Now let's go to the offensive coordinators. Who are the new offensive coordinators?
Before I go into the entire list, I want to tell you right now that Matt Ryan is a quarterback you should consider targeting.
I don't trust first to a last name to be a first name as well.
Well, regardless, you should target him in next year's fantasy drafts. I'll tell you why. A, he's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, what has he really done? I mean, won an MVP, went to the Super Bowl.
B, he has a guy named Julio Jones on his team. Not a bad little wide receiver over there.
He's all right.
But here's the reason. Here's the reason why Matt Ryan will have a chance to be one of the best fantasy quarterbacks of 2019.
Can I stop you real quick?
Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. But it's official. Antonio Brown has officially asked the Steelers to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
Officially. Like, this isn't rumors. This is official. But regardless, continue.
Okay. So the reason why I think Matt Ryan is due for a breakout season is because Dirk Cutter is the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Dirk Cutter last coached the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers were not a good football team last year, but what did they do really well?
Throw the football.
Throw the football. Matt Ryan, once upon a time, had Dirk Cutter as his offensive coordinator. Do you want to know what his numbers were?
What were his numbers?
In 2012, Matt Ryan threw for 4,800 yards, 32 touchdowns.
Okay. But he's
gotten better since that, but that was a career year for him.
But can I say something real quick?
Hold on. Julio Jones averaged a touchdown every two games with Dirk Cutter. He's only had one 10-touchdown season since.
Mm-hmm.
Tight ends have caught 20% or more of Cutter's team passes in 8 of the last 11 years, including each of the past 3 seasons with Tampa Bay. So in addition to Matt Ryan, go after the tight ends for the Falcons because they will be used.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I just known there's been a history of his first time with the offensive.
It's not his first time.
True.
And he had his career year with him previously.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of history.
It's like
there.
Breaking up with a girl and you were like, oh, she was the best I've ever had, and went back there.
Yeah. Well, you know, he got a chance to be a
head coach. You can't blame him.
Yeah.
It's not his fault either. That
and to be honest, the Falcons have had some struggles offensively since Kyle Shanahan left. They just have, right? So,
and that was his MVP year with Kyle Shanahan.
Mm-hmm. So I think a guy like Austin Hooper, the current tight end of the Falcons, could have a huge season because Cutter likes to throw to the tight end, especially down the field, especially near the goal line. Yeah, so what does this all mean, man? I mean, it means Matt Ryan is a good player. I think Matt Ryan was negatively affected by Sarkisian the last 2 years. I think he was really good with Cutter. He was really good with Shanahan. The tight ends, the running backs, are going to be heavily used in the passing game, I think. You know, Calvin Ridley, he had an impressive rookie campaign, wouldn't you say?
Yes, he did. I was very high on him.
Julio Jones, Austin Hooper. I think that Matt Ryan should be a quarterback that is one of the top 6 quarterbacks taken in next year's drafts.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely take him ahead of a guy like Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't like Rod in my burger anyways.
I would say that Ryan's probably the number 6 for me, depending on Newton. If Newton's not healthy.
I don't think he's playing next season. It sounds like he's not.
I would say Mahomes, Luck. I think Mayfield's going to get picked in the top 5.
Honestly, with what you just told me and how good like Julio and Calvin Ridley, I would pick Ryan over Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds a little crazy based off how he did last year, but I don't know. It sounds like it's going to be a good relationship again. But honestly, Roethlisberger has already dropped stock for me if Antonio Brown has requested a trade. If he's gone, then I think Roethlisberger's stock goes down. Just a little bit, not too much, mm-hmm. but a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if Antonio Brown is, his stock for sure goes down. Plus, Le'Veon Bell's probably not going to be back either. So, yeah, Roethlisberger might have a lot of value next year because he might fall pretty far down. He's going to fall out of the top 10, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Second offense corner I want to talk about, Kellen Moore, Dallas Cowboys. So here's the thing about Kellen Moore. A lot of people don't know too much about him. He's replacing Scott Linehan as a play caller. He spent the last 5 seasons as a quarterback in Linehan's offense. Now, people consider Kellen Moore a football genius. even when he was a quarterback at Boise State, a lot of people talked about how he wasn't the greatest player, like athletically speaking, but he was very smart, very intellectual. Most NFL people, like people who cover the sport, believe the Cowboys offense will be a lot more opened up, a lot more imaginative in 2019. This could be good for Dak Prescott because many people, including myself, thought that Scott Linehan's offense was, I don't know, being too conservative with him, not letting him use his legs a little bit more in terms of rolling out and getting outside the pocket. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it makes sense. And like you said about Roethlisberger dropping a bunch, and also, I honestly think Roethlisberger should retire, but we won't get in on that. But there is still, like, quarterbacks are looking pretty good right now, all things considered. The top running backs are looking, or top quarterbacks are looking great. And even if they don't have, like what you said, even if they don't have a good rolling out of the pocket, even if they're not good at scrambling, they're still formidable. Like, usually you're thinking, oh, they need to learn how to run now. But I don't think they do anymore. I think it's you can be a pocket passer again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think there was a time where people were like, oh, you need to be a running back to succeed in this league. Because it was getting to a point where we were in, like, that era. You know what I mean? We're in the era of the speed quarterbacks. But now we're getting back to the pocket passing, and it's starting to work out pretty well. So I would not mind having a scrambling quarterback, don't get me wrong, but honestly, I'm looking more towards a pocket passer.
One of the new corners is Daryl Bevel. He's taking over the offense coordinator for the Lions. Now, he was famously the offense coordinator for Seattle Seahawks. Of course, they won a Super Bowl with them. He was also the offense coordinator when they threw the ball at the one-yard line. Yes, that was him. He was fired shortly after that. But he is known as being a run-heavy offensive coordinator, which could be really good for a guy like Kerryon Johnson with the Detroit Lions. Remember how good Kerryon Johnson was last year?
He was very underrated.
I think he's going to be a high second-round pick in fantasy football. I really do. He was super good.
He was so underrated, wasn't he? Based off, like, I guess it was the
team
he
was on. He
had
a slow start, and he got hurt a little bit. And LeGarrette Blount. Remember the Lions had, like, four running backs last year at the beginning of the year? They had LeGarrette Blount. They had Theo Riddick. They had Kerryon Johnson, who they drafted in the third round. And they had Amir Abdullah, their former first-round pick.
Yeah. Honestly, any guys on the Dolphins were very underwhelmed and underhyped just based off that fact. So, I definitely think he could be a steal, I feel like.
Does this hurt Kenny Golladay a little bit? Because Bevel is known for spreading the wealth in the passing game. He's a run-heavy, run-focused offensive coordinator. Do you think this hurts Kenny Golladay, who's kind of expected to be, I don't know, the big wide receiver in Detroit now?
I don't think so. I think he knows the talent that he has, the offensive coordinator, I mean, knows the talent he has. And I think he'll use him the best he can. I think he'll still get a lot of eyes on the offensive side.
Right.
I why would you waste that kind of talent? Like, every offensive coordinator, if they had him, they'd be like, we're going to use him any way we can.
Greg Roman is the new offensive coordinator for the Ravens.
They're going to run in the ball a lot.
And they have Lamar Jackson.
They're going to be running the ball.
Could be a very Kaepernick-like offense.
Dude, they're going to be running the ball like 60 times a game.
Well, you know what? They've already been one of the bottom five teams in terms of how many times they throw the ball in the last 3 years.
Well, it's going to get even lower.
Five of the last 6 years, the Ravens have been 28th, 29th, or 30th in
passing.
Well,
they're going to be 32nd now. If I know Greg Roman, I think I do.
And you know what he likes to do? He likes to mix. I mean, when we looked at his time in San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick, he liked to run the ball in a lot of, you know, zone read type option plays and then try and hit him downfield with passes down the seams with guys like Vernon Davis, you know, and then in routes like Michael Crabtree.
But the thing is, do they have that kind of team in Baltimore?
Well, they have that kind of quarterback. That's
but
they
don't have that kind of tight end. They don't have that kind of wide receiver.
Well,
I don't think they have a receiver.
To be honest with you, the Ravens have like three really good tight ends. They do. They're the best tight end team.
But speed tight ends is what I meant. Because
they got physical tight ends. I don't think they've been utilized enough. But don't sleep on their tight ends. They really do have a good mix of players.
But the wide receiver, they don't have a lot of speed there. Or they do have speed, but not a lot of hands.
I think John Brown. I don't know if John Brown's a
free agent. Michael Crabtree's their one receiver, and he's not very good at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm hesitant about this whole offense, because you need good receivers to be able to go deep and catch the ball, and they don't have that kind of combination there.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be relying way more on the run than they ever have. I'll call prediction right now. They're going to be 32nd in passing.
Yeah, well, they were 30th this year, so that makes sense.
Yeah, but 32nd, dead last.
But, I mean, with Lamar Jackson, they're probably going to be dead last anyways, right? I mean,
oh,
like, I mean, he's a running
Oh, you mean just on – oh, I thought you meant just in the
like
league.
Like, he ran the ball more than he threw the ball last year.
I thought you were –
You remember the playoff game?
Where he ran for his life?
Well, the playoff game, they were down the whole game. They only threw the ball, like, 12 times or whatever it was.
That seems like more than I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran the ball more than his running back, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
When the quarterback is running more than the running back, there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're
going
to kill the kid.
Yeah, they're going to have to change it up a little bit, because that's just not going to work.
He can't do that his whole career.
Yeah, it's not going to work out. Other offense coordinators that are different, John DeFilippo with the Jaguars. It's hard to say what they're going to do. Until they figure out what they're going to do at quarterback, I don't even know what to expect from
and
them.
With Leonard Fournette gone... Which sounds like that's a formality.
I mean, he was fired last year as a Vikings offense coordinator, a lot of it for being too pass happy. So I don't know.
And he doesn't have a quarterback to be pass happy with, because they don't have a quarterback right now.
The Jags have been a much better running team than passing in the last few years.
But
so.
They lost Leonard Fournette. They're one.
Well, they haven't lost him yet. But
it sounds like he's not. I don't think he's playing one down with them next season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, that's what I feel like. So that's how I think that's going to go down.
Right.
So,
anyways, anything else you'd like to talk about today?
Well, I want to ask you about just how we're like, just go back to Antonio Brown, since that's kind of the topic right now of the day, because he's asking for a trade. Where is your ideal spot for Antonio Brown? What do you think he'll best fit? If you had to make a choice.
I mean, I know everybody's thinking about San Francisco, and
it's just regardless whoever.
But that
just
would be a good
choice.
Spot for him, just because, you know, if obviously assuming Garoppolo can stay healthy this year in a Shanahan offense, like there is some drool appeal there, right? Like there is, like, ooh, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Other teams, I mean, obviously, like if you went to somewhere like Green Bay, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it just.
Let me ask you something that you might disagree with based off this. Since Antonio Brown is basically asking for this trade, do you think a team like Kansas City would try to add him with, like, a first-round pick or multiple first-round picks because they're looking to win now and adding someone next to Tyreek Hill and losing Kareem Hunt, adding Antonio Brown? Would that be something they'd be interested in?
No, just because. They spent a lot of money on Sammy Watkins, who mm-hmm. they obviously like. I mean, they gave him a huge contract last year, and then.
But there's going to be teams that are thinking win now situations.
And then Tyreek Hill will be paid by them. I just think that Kansas City will focus elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't see them doing that, because
I would just give. Them
I don't think their offense can get better. I think their offense is maxed out. Their defense, though, that's what needs to improve. So no, I don't think.
I think
so.
They're running back. They can add a running back.
Yeah, maybe.
But I was just trying to think, like, of any best
offensive
places.
Let's just put it this way. They
won.
Didn't lose the AFC Championship game because they didn't score enough points.
That is true. Because someone was 5 yards offsides. T4!
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry to remind you, Kansas City fans, but, yeah, I got a bad cough about T4! Yeah, about that. But that should be our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune us in next week on Tuesday. We're doing Tuesdays now for the Fantasy Football Podcast about, like, how everything's going to play out. Maybe we'll know more about off-season free agencies and how everything's going to go into the next free fantasy football draft for your next season. Hopefully we'll help you out. As always, I'm Jeff Malinoff. That's Mark Souza. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast. part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.